It's 12 days before Christmas, and are you still having trouble finding the perfect gift? Of course you are, because you haven't even thought about it yet. Well, let me help you take the thinking out of the buying, okay? There's a service called Loot Crate. Loot Crate is for all your nerdy friends and family, okay? What they do is they send you a box full of loot, but it's for people who are into cool pop culture stuff. I mean, they have pop culture things like Hunger Games, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, everything is in these loot crates. You open it up, it's like a grab bag every month. I love Loot Crate. So make this holiday season great with Loot Crate. Make sure to head over to lootcrate.com/getmade and enter the code GETMADE to save $3 off your Loot Crate subscription. That's lootcrate.com/getmade. They also have Loot Anime for your Japanese animation loving pals and Loot Pets for their fur babies. So you find out more at lootcrate.com/getmade. Do this, it helps the show and it helps your friends get their nerdy shit on. I love it. Today's podcast is brought to you by Zevia. Zevia is the zero calorie, naturally sweetened soda that is clearly different. No sugar, no calories, and non-GMO project verified. Make this the cleaner, healthier soda option. Zevia is available in 15, not 14, not 13, not 16, but 15 delicious flavors like cream soda, black cherry, cola, ginger ale, and even tonic water. And always zero calories. Did I mention that they make excellent mixers? Because they do. Go to Zevia.com/podcast because Zevia is giving away thousands of free six packs. You guys have done this before. People have written to me on our Twitter page and been like, oh shit, I got free shit. Yeah, they're going to give it to you. Okay. So go to Zevia.com/podcast, register to get a free six pack. Try it out. Seriously. Thousands of people have won, and who knows, you could go home with a surprise soda at your doorstep. Random but delicious. Head to Zevia.com/podcast to get yours. That's Zevia.com/podcast. Imagine Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr. And then replace him with Shaquille O'Neal. We saw Steel, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kinda nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid, June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid, they judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello people of Earth, look, and hello people of Largo. We are live in Los Angeles at our LA home for a very important night. A night that is going to be a night of Shaquille O'Neal. If you hear laughter,
it's because there was a technical malfunction. There we go. Very exciting tonight to talk about a movie that was years ahead of itself before the superhero craze. This movie was bold enough to give us a hero that we could love and respect. And tonight we will talk about this powerful man. But first, let me introduce my co-host. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks?
And June Diane Raphael!
Hi, Paul.
Hi, June. June, in the last episode, you asked what BB-8's mission was. And it was the shot that was heard around the world. For our audience, many different pictures were made. Many different things were immediately put out there.
I still haven't got an answer.
You will on December 18th. Also known as my birthday.
So you can go to take Jason for his birthday to see The Force Awakens.
Please do not kidnap me.
Well, just so you know, that right now, available online at howdidthisgetmade.bigcartel.com, you can get your own BB-8 What Is Its Mission t-shirt. Yet another shirt inspired by your quote, because also in the Earwolf store is, what is a Street Fighter?
What exactly is a Street Fighter?
Exactly. What exactly is a Street Fighter? And now also, how did this get made pins? So if you like wearing pins with our faces on it, go to the Earwolf store, get yourself all swagged out. And by the way, we didn't just make What Is This Mission t-shirts, we also made tote bags. So would you carry around a tote bag of what?
Absolutely.
I would use it to go and do my grocery shopping.
There you go. We have a very special guest tonight. A very, very special guest. You know him from Workaholics. Please welcome Anders Holm.
Cheers.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Welcome to the 1997 classic Steel. This is Shaquille's third movie. First being Blue Chips, the second being Kazam, this is Steel, and it's at 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really? I'm surprised it's that high. I'm gonna be frank, I'm surprised it's that high.
It is a mind-boggling movie.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say it's got it all.
Right.
So, you know, it's got that.
I mean...
Got it
it's
all.
An urban story. It's Boom. A superhero story.
Pow.
It's a
war story.
A war story.
Ta-da. Yeah.
And it's a story about being a good grandson.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just...
Yep. Yeah.
It's a culinary story.
Yeah.
It's a story about one woman's triumph.
Absolutely.
Over
it's a,
a souffle.
Rehabilitation story, too.
It checks some boxes off. They cover their bases.
The movie opens with something I wanted to talk to you guys about, because I don't know if this is real or not, but in movies there are certain conceits, and this movie does two of them, where it's like, oh, the general's visiting the military facility to watch guns go off.
That's real.
Is that real? Is that a thing that like low-level politicians go to do? Like, let me see your gun firing day. Like,
yep.
Like, and if they did, what do? They go back to D.C. like, I saw some cool guns, guys. Let's invest in more guns.
I think that's exactly what
I
do.
Yeah. I think it is real. Yeah, it is, right? Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go. All right. The second thing
How else would they do it?
I guess. Yeah.
They'd be like, do they work? Yeah.
No.
Because you know, because somebody's like, hey, you got to get your ass down there, and you got to look at those new guns.
Right.
And then when you come back, you tell me if those new guns are good.
It's a total boondoggle. You get like a free steak dinner out of it. You know, you're down. Yeah.
They're buttering up these politicians left and right to show them cool guns.
Exactly.
The movie starts off with this
entire thing. Episode is just going to be us going to town on the gun lobby.
Well, I was going to say, the movie also starts off clearly in Los Angeles. Wherever they were, I feel like you could see a 7-Eleven sign, like, in the distance.
No, it is, isn't it L.A.?
Well, it's not the beginning, though.
Right. Yeah, the very beginning.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I see what you mean.
Have you seen it?
Beginning. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Jason, have you seen the movie?
That's no, so it's Jason.
It's Shaq and Steel, right?
Oh brother.
Gosh.
Another time he didn't watch his fucking movie.
No, I know what it's about. I know what it's about. He steals the ball and
he dribbles,
full slam panic. Dunk, touchdown, Shaq attack.
So I do want to talk off the bat about what's going on in this beginning. So they're obviously testing a weapon. What's Shaquille's relationship with Annabelle Gish, the girl, Sparky, or Sparks, I don't know what her name is.
Sparky. He calls her Sparky.
Her last name is Sparks, the nickname is Sparky.
Yeah.
So his last name is Steel, and her name is Sparks?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
It's based on a comic book. I give him a little slack on the leash.
Here's a little interesting information.
Going to the notes.
Director threw out every bit of source material from the comic book.
Yeah.
So
wait, this was based on a comic book?
Yeah. A DC, he's a character. A DC comic, yeah.
In the DC world, yeah.
He was from the Adventures of Superman. He was a spinoff of four new Supermen came up, and he was one of those Supermen.
You know.
Well, no,
one of those Supermen?
One of those Supermen. And by the way, this was an origin story.
I'm Paul Superman. How are you doing?
Saul Superman? I'm Spider-Man. Since Spider-Man, Saul Superman. This was supposedly
we're having the Spider-Man
in.
Over for dinner. We need all the Supermen to be here.
This is, I think, an interesting fact. This was going to tie into the Nick Cage Superman.
Oh, really?
Yes. Just a little piece of information.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that DC Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Much Shaq. More than the one they're making. Slam.
But yes, but you know what? Stealing Sparks, I don't want to nitpick there, but what are they best friends? Are they boyfriend and girlfriend? Because they do the little fingering thing.
They are fingering each other constantly.
They don't high five, they ET each other a little.
Actually, I don't want to jump to the end of the movie, but this speaks to,
Dumbledore dies.
Well, we're setting up this relationship between Steele and Sparky, and you watch this relationship build, and they do have, I actually thought they were great together on screen.
Yes.
And I loved their story, and I loved the story of her, you know, having lost the use of her legs and, you know, being rehabilitated and him bringing her back and leaving her in the junkyard and all of that. I loved. I really did. And then, but
leaving her in the junkyard.
I was
sounds like a terrible euphemism.
I was thinking, like, I hope he's aware of all of her physical needs. Because she has major physical needs when she leaves that place.
Yes.
And I hope he understands all of them.
Nope. Because you know what he understands? She needs railings in the bathroom.
That's it.
The most romantic thing that Shaq does for this woman after he kidnaps her from a hospital is show her that he built two shitters for her that she can use.
Okay.
Check it out.
But
I got railings in the bathrooms.
But that said, I did really love their relationship. Which is why when they didn't kiss at the end of the movie.
It was like frustratingly not sexual, this movie.
It was, I think, racist and
yeah,
really offensive.
Yeah. This movie
that they wouldn't have them kiss
they
on screen.
Absolutely would have kissed. She is like his Pepper Potts or whatever. Like she is part of his team and they have a romantic chemistry through the whole movie. And then at the very end, there's a gesture where she's built her wheelchair to stand her up so they can look eye to eye with each other and they hug. Right? She basically built her wheelchair so that she could get up there and get some. And they hug.
You know they filmed a kiss.
You think so?
Yeah, and then they're racist, so they didn't put it in.
Well, this movie like, caters somewhere. To like a little bit racist. Like I remember feeling a little bit weird because in the beginning when like Judd Nelson, we'll get into the plot, but no. Judd Nelson has a scene with him. He's the villain in the movie.
A white villain.
who like gets in his face like, "You stupid." And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like it just felt like something racist was coming. Like, I felt uneasy with... It wasn't like,
that.
You stupid dummy. It was like, it was going to be you stupid something.
Yeah.
And it was not acceptable.
You big blasphemous guy.
And it's like, that movie is definitely... I feel like there are elements of this movie that definitely, like, they... It was weird that they didn't go there with them. Like that they didn't.
It was insane. It was insane after that build up, you know. And I wanted to see them kiss.
Of course.
What a babe.
Yes.
Oh. Did.
Ladies. Oh.
Well,
she built him that hammer
with a nice shaft. June and I are talking about this because Richard Roundtree is in the movie who played Shaft, and he goes like. You have this hammer, and he goes, "I like the shaft." And June's like, "Is that a dick joke?" And I was like, "No, it's a reference to Shaft, but if you have no context for it, it sounds like a dick joke."
Yep.
But isn't,
oh, yeah.
Isn't Shaft just a dick joke?
So it's a dick joke.
From the movie, he's like, "My name's Shaft because my cock's humongous."
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah. It's John Shaft because of all this shaft I have.
I did not even realize that.
Yeah.
Well,
that just shut Paul down. So Paul has to reboot right now.
So just to give you a little bit of context, Shaq works in the military. He designs these weapons that don't hurt people, but they do have a volume-esque switch on it, which is very easy to just push up. Even less energy and effort is spent putting a safety on, like, a safety on a regular gun has more complex than this. It's like literally like a volume button on a mixing board. It's like...
And the button has corresponding lights that go from green up into red.
Yeah.
You know, so you know when that thing has been turned up, it's in the red.
If you just rest it up against something, like, the knob's gonna drift down. And you'll be like, hey, let's go shoot that bird. And then you just destroy a house.
So basically, this gun shoots like sonic waves. Judd Nelson jacks up the gun and I guess blows up this pretend village. But then, like, Annabelle Gish is like crushed under a wall, which from moment one, Shaq has superhuman strength.
Yeah.
That is unexplained. And he uses it a handful of times. So he lifts up the wall of a building with like, not, I would say like he's probably at like a 7 or 8 of effort. And he's like, and then he gets the offer.
He's 7'2" and like 3. We don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, he's got powers we don't understand.
True.
It's true.
When you have a size,
we don't know what it's like
foot
to be that big.
Yeah. Like, if he was in here, half of you couldn't be in here.
Yeah.
And I feel when I look at him, like, he's uncomfortably big.
Yeah.
Like, it's uncomfortable for him to be that big.
Well, this movie is, like, I wrote down lethargic action.
Yes. Because unreal.
But here's the thing. How much does Shaquille O'Neal weigh? He's 7 foot whatever. He weighs quite a lot. And then he puts on an entire suit made of steel in order to run around.
Yeah.
Iron Man flies, right? Steel just lumbers around.
Do you want to take a guess on how much Shaquille weighs?
Well, now or like when he was. Well, how young did he look in this movie? Let's give him that, guys.
Yeah, he was definitely young. This is what they say his weight was for a while. Anyone guess? Anyone?
369.
320.
Nice.
290.
324 pounds.
Whoa.
Wow. Jesus.
Wow.
That's a big dude.
And that's lifting walls.
They say at some point he's wearing 75 pounds of armor.
So
plus that fucking hammer.
Pounds?
So he's weighing into close to 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And is running around like... Boop, boop, boop. Like shooting a grappling hook, and it's like zzzz.
When the grappling hook takes him up, it's like the grappling hook's like, oh fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, none of it looks easy though.
No.
Well, the thing that I thought was so funny was that they can't get a stunt double for him either.
No.
Because there's no 7 foot tall men out there like that can do this. So it's just him like looking like,
Just three more times, Shaq. We got this.
When Shaq does a motorcycle chase in this movie, it looks like the motorcycle's going at like 4 miles an hour.
And the
like,
trains
Shaq could
too,
be crocheting on that motorcycle.
The first action sequence is these trains like coming into a station and they're literally going like 5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like you could have put Shaq in Speed 2.
Yes.
Just like with the slow moving ocean liner.
Shaq also, again, let's get back to Sparks' relationship. So after that wall falls on her, like the whole first part of the movie, I would almost say the whole movie takes place in about 5 to 6 days, maybe? I don't know. It seems, I mean, I don't know how long the steel building happened, but the first, it seemed like the wall falls on the girl, the immediate next day there's a trial.
Yeah.
And then the next day he's home in L.A.
Which, by the way, that trial, so I don't understand why Judd Nelson did that. I don't understand why he caused that.
Just to show how powerful the weapon is?
I mean, I know. Because this was the most sexual part of the movie for me. When he's so like the woman who's there about to like buy weapons or whatever, he's like,
but that's
you want to see
senator.
How? That's a senator.
That's the senator. Yeah.
So the senator's there, and he's like, you want to see how like hard this puppy can fire? And she's like, fuck yeah. And he like revs it up. I mean, he's a red-blooded American guy. I get
but
it.
But he's also jealous of Shaq because he sees like...
Well, because Shaq's a 7'2" guy with a monster hog for sure. And I'll get talking about dicks later, but this
Shaq's
is all he has against Shaq.
Dick weighs 37 pounds.
For sure.
I guess...
When Shaq's hard, he weighs 350.
Shaq has to be hard in that suit at the entire time, so there's no blood in his head. He's
but that, I mean, that to me, that's why Judd Nelson
that's
did
why?
It. Yeah, okay. Poonanny.
No, really?
Because yes, there's no reason. Judd Nelson goes on to make it his mission to get essentially military-grade weapons on the streets.
Yeah, he's going to be a black market weapons seller.
Right, but... What he did in that training camp or whatever that was had nothing to do with bringing the weapons to the streets.
It showed he was willing to break the rules.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it was
Poonanny. Okay, but here's another question. He killed a senator.
Wait, she died?
She's dead. She's under the rubble.
That.
He didn't go to jail. He was dismissed from the army. That's it.
That's a real tap on the wrist, like a slap on the wrist.
You can't do that.
hey man,
that's crazy.
Not cool. Go get a real job.
And then he goes to a guy, he goes to work for a villain that should have a mustache because they both should be twirling their mustaches in this movie. Like, ah.
Because then, Judd Nelson kills women throughout this movie.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
Then there's the other woman who he kills via elevator shaft.
Using a car That's remote amazing. Control.
There, but in the beginning, I would say the first like 10 minutes of the movie, there are two uniformed women like dead or severely harmed.
It's a congressman.
Well, it's clearly a commentary by the director, and I don't want to get too deep into this.
Yeah,
but.
Sure.
Women are just not respected in the military. I think we can talk about that another time. He was like, I just want to get this out there. And then they're like, all right, but sure.
Well, Judd Nelson immediately goes to L.A. to work for a video game company where he goes into the boss and is basically like, hey, you still deal weapons? Cool. We're going to make the biggest weapon of all time, but not sell it to street bugs. We're going to sell it to the world. Anyway, peace. Like, it's the most ballsy move that he goes to this video game company that you
see. And it's like all because they're selling arms in big arcade game cabinets.
Right.
Like, that's the methodology. That's how they're... It'd be as if in like the 1950s, they're like, you know how we get drugs everywhere? Inside jukeboxes.
But it's also like crazy, like, because if you put it in like modern day context, like what would it be? ISIS would be like, yes, give us Outrun, Mortal Kombat, and
Free Jousts.
And then they open it, okay, yeah, for our okay. And then they open it up and there's just like Kalashnikovs in there. Because that's what they were doing. They were literally putting guns inside a video game
machine.
What's
even better, though, is that when they were doing it, they were just, like, hanging them inside.
Right. On hooks.
They weren't, like, packed in or anything like that. They were just, like, hanging on a hook via its
close
strap
it up.
And then close the door. Like, at any point, loading and unloading, it's like clunkety, clunkety, clunkety. Because there's loose guns in the game.
Yeah. There are
what
no hacking peanuts.
What about like the kid in the real arcade? Is like, oh damn, this machine's broken. Goes to the back and there's like fucking armory back there. Like, oh shit.
Oh shit, I can't play Dig Dug.
Play Road Blaster. Just gets too real.
Run, coward, run. Right? No? Anybody?
Is it
Sinistar?
It's a Shaquille movie,
cut.
So every Shaquille movie has to have a moment where there is at least a free throw joke.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes two.
Or a storyline.
Yeah, right.
In this movie. It paid off.
Yeah, it really worked out perfectly.
The one thing.
Shaquille, Shaquille takes this by, well, Shaquille like lives in a bad part of town. And just so you know, the writer decided to spend a lot of time in South Central to ensure the language of the characters was believable.
And it paid off.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It paid off.
It was like watching The Wire. It felt real.
Yep.
Yeah, it did.
You know, there's huge parts of this that are just a straight documentary.
Can you imagine those kids be like, yeah, nah, we always say, like, grab your corn. It's going to be a hot day. Grab your corn? This is great. This is great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Jamal. It's James. James.
Hey, everybody. We have to take a quick break in the show. Having trouble finding that perfect holiday gift for the nerds in your life? Of course you are. You don't know what these nerds want, but guess what? Loot Crate does. That's right. They use the Force, and they want you now to trust them to give your nerdy friend or family the perfect gift. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription service that delivers geeky gear and collectibles from all across pop culture right to your door. That's right. Hunger Games, Game of Thrones, and more. It's all in there. This holiday season, make it great with Loot Crate. Make sure to head over to lootcrate.com/getmade and enter the code GETMADE, all one word, to save $3 on your Loot Crate subscription. All right, we also have Loot Anime for your Japanese animation-loving pals and Loot Pets for their fur babies. Guys, if you love fur babies, you gotta head over to Loot Crate. Oh, please, oh, please. No, when you head over to lootcrate.com/getmade, you help the show. Even if you just click it, just check it out. I think you will like it. I have gotten a Loot Crate once or twice in my life, and I gotta tell you, it's pretty fucking cool. Here's the deal. You want to build a website. You don't have the time. You don't have the experience, but you have the idea. You have the germ of something that could be great. It could be the next big thing. It could be the next, I don't know, Dig, BuzzFeed. But you're like, but I'll never build a website. Hold up. Hold the F up. Okay? This is where Squarespace comes in. Squarespace allows you to build a website simply, easily, and within minutes. I built my website, paulshear.com, and crashtestshow.com. on Squarespace. I did them within a week. I mean, and paulshear.com is pretty complicated. So, you know, crash test one night. Check it out, crashtestshow.com, a simple website just to let people know what's out there for Crash Test Show. It's really definitely cool. So I love Squarespace because it lets you take an idea and then execute it quickly. Okay, so the sites look so professionally designed, regardless of your skill level. There's no coding required. You have an intuitive and easy-to-use tools. It's so true. It's so easy to make corrections, everything. Plus, you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. So, start your free trial today at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Build it beautifully. What are you waiting for? And now we're back.
Whatever.
There's also a significant portion of this movie when Shaq has left the military, when he's rescued Annabeth Gish from the VA hospital. Did anybody else think she was blind?
Yes.
Yes.
She doesn't look.
She, when he comes to visit her in the hospital, she's staring straight ahead. Like
everyone's like, yeah.
And I was like, oh. That's interesting. The thing, like, made her blind. Nope. Not at all.
But by the way, Annabeth Gish feels like she's not clued into anything because when he first visits her the first time, she's like, oh, I can't wait to get out of this bed. And Shaquille's like, Like, Shaquille knows, like, you ain't getting up anywhere. Like, why isn't anyone giving her this information?
Yeah.
Like, and then she's in this VA hospital. But for no reason, she's just in a wheelchair. Why are they keeping her there?
No, because what like, I imagined what happened was they didn't tell her right away because they needed her to like just everything, her vitals to like be normal for a while.
Yeah,
and
the
stuff.
Vitals.
Yeah, her vitals sure. And stuff to like even out. And then they were going to tell her. And then I think this is my issue with the movie. She needed to be in that rehab for a little while to learn how to live the life of a disabled person. And to learn how to do her daily functions without legs, the use of her legs. And so my problem with Shaq picking her up by the wheelchair and taking her out of there was that he doesn't know how far along she is in this process.
He picks her up like a petulant child. Like a child, like, I'm not going to school today. He's like, yes, you are.
I got a feeling that nobody liked her there, because as soon as he picks her up, everyone's like, yeah, get her the fuck out of here. Oh my God. We're all trying to like get our lives back together. And she's like,
she is such a bummer.
By the way, we didn't talk about the fact that Shaquille rips the windows out.
Yes. You've never done that?
That is, yeah, and she was like moved against her will to St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has to call around and be like, wait, where is she?
I was just there last week. So they ship her off to a St. Louis VA hospital. Because
another commentary, by the way, that he wanted to get in there about.
He goes, he takes her out of the hospital where she is rehabbing and moves her into a Sanford and Son junkyard.
Oh.
He moves her into a, just so we're clear, junkyard.
A junkyard.
But by the way, this junk.
This is a woman who has medical needs.
Yes. He built her a shitter.
Yeah.
There's railings next to the toilet. Otherwise, we live in a junkyard.
But yeah. By the way.
Which I hope you're cool with, because we can't go back to the hospital I just abducted you from.
Here's the logic problems of the movie. He's on the phone. He's like, where is she? St. Louis. He goes. Then it doesn't seem like his plan was to pick her up and bring her back, but then he does, and then by the time he gets her back home, the handicapped bathrooms have already been built. Like, yeah. So I don't know if he called ahead, like, hey, Uncle Joe, build some handicapped bathrooms. Quick. I'll explain later. My flight's in an hour. Work quick.
Or why not put her in, you know, Grandma's house?
Sure.
Well, Grandma's seems cooking lovely. That souffle.
Grandma's
that wheelchair
busy, yeah.
Is going to pop. That souffle will pop with that wheelchair noise.
Where does she sleep in that junkyard?
Wait, what was with the be quiet, I'm cooking?
That was, okay, that's another one of these, like, movie or TV cliches, which is like, you'll pop the souffle. Is that a thing? Like, you can't speak around a souffle? Like, I feel like that's another thing I've seen in TV. Like, oh, I'm making a souffle. Like,
this, I agree, is the one thing that in the movie didn't make sense.
This is it.
Everything else totally lines up, totally makes sense, except for this souffle thing.
But it was the one thing that could have just been not even, it just was so blatant.
Well, we had to pay off her story, the story of making Cajun French food.
She's making a hybrid of, wasn't it soul
like
food?
Soul and food and French cuisine.
And high-end, yeah. Haute cuisine.
I want to talk about the junk food, not the junk food, the junkyard thing, because Richard Roundtree Shaft, big dick.
At least long, right?
Yes. When he comes in.
But very thin.
Super thin. He has to fold it backwards in order for it to be like normal.
We need it.
I'm sorry, it's true.
When he comes in, I felt like I was automatically transported to like a bad one-man show. Like, this is my junkyard. You never guess what falls off the back of a truck.
Oh.
Almost anything.
I guess I didn't see you there.
Yeah.
It was so like monologue-y and ridiculous. Like, oh, that scene made me laugh.
But
so.
It's straight up Sanford and Son. It's just that, and it's wild. And of course, whatever the junkyard has is exactly what they need to build their own versions of high-tech weapons and a suit of armor and
some art.
Yeah.
There was like beautiful like steel sculptures.
A lot of steel.
And by some the way, cool dad has art in that movie. And he took his son and was like, see that shit? That's from my yard, son. Now it's in a movie. What now? Dads.
Who was the woman police officer that they were driving around in the car with when the robbers were committing an entire bank robbery from within their car?
Well, by the way, one of them, Ray J.
Oh, yeah. Really?
That's Ray J.
And really? One
Here
of the
comes
robbers?
My next dick conversation.
Is Ray J?
Right? I patch, yeah.
No. That's Harper Hill.
Oh, Harper Hill, okay.
In the leather overalls.
Oh, okay, this is...
Ray J was like the little Martin. Young dude.
Yeah. Oh, that's the, okay.
I
Ray
think
J. Ray J. Who had sex with Kim Kardashian on tape?
Yes. So Ray J is the one who's like, incoming!
Yeah, so yeah. If I may, when he skateboards into him and gets picked up, I'm like, oh shit, Ray J, he's like 12. For sure, him and Shaq have already the same size dick. Because I don't know if you've seen the Kim Kardashian, but he's packing, and I'm like, did he already have it?
That was the audition process. I
love that that's where you were at while watching this movie.
And then I saw Shaft and was like, I went dick crazy.
You did. I think that woman was...
Circling back.
I just want to let I went dick crazy sit for just a minute.
A new t-shirt coming out of this. Just a picture of Shaquille O'Neal. I went dick crazy.
And Ray J. And
I think that woman was a family friend.
Family friend.
Yes, because I don't think she was related. I don't think she was that kid's mother. I think she was just like a friend of the family.
They shared a wink. It was like maybe we went to prom together.
Yeah.
Then I went off to the army.
Is Shaq asexual though? Like, because he doesn't.
In this movie.
Yeah, in this movie, he's not like, he's not into anybody.
He doesn't fuck. He doesn't kill. Except for when he just blasé, like just chucks a grenade and he's like, we didn't blow up. And then a dude just explodes.
A grenade. A grenade that conservatively lasts, the timer of which lasts for half a minute.
Yeah.
Shaq makes some bold choices in this movie. There is a full-on firefight with like futuristic laser weapons going on in the street. Shaq, unarmed, gets out of the car and just runs into the fray to do... What? I have no idea.
The guys pull up in a Hummer. They point one of the newfangled weapons out, which like gives like a sound wave blast, blasts the bank like facade.
Open.
Then, without getting out of the car, they blast a laser gun in all the way through the bank to the vault. So now they're opening the vault from like, they're wasting so much power. If they just walked up to it, they could have been like, bzzz. But instead, they're like...
Well, that whole crew was kind of fucked up because there's one guy, they're all robbing the safe, and then one guy just got left behind.
Yeah.
But as if he didn't even get left behind. He was like, I'm still robbing.
These things happen.
Where'd everyone go?
These things happen. You know, these characters are flawed. He had greed on his mind. You know what I mean? Those kind of people get left behind.
In Judd's master plan, he does put weapons on the street... Because...
So he can get publicity, I think, to then have those weapons be seen in use by all of these different terrorist organizations.
The Nazis who
which
like
they show. They show on the news, yeah.
Well, sometimes so the LA, local then, LA news is picked up all around the world.
Well, I was going to say, like, he couldn't just reach out to them himself.
Apparently not. And but, be like, I got these cool new weapons. Yeah.
You're wasting tell them about time. It. Have the newscasters do it for you. Sure. You know what I mean? Delegate. That's
we
a leader.
Just, yeah. Show, we need footage of us shooting a helicopter out of the sky. Get it done.
Boom.
Also, I want to talk about the cop, not the female cop, but the wide-eyed cop. Who,
love that guy.
Like, his only job was to be like, Like, and it was, and at first, like, it was like, first it was just a stoplight. Like, it was like... Driving. Oh, that green light went to red. He's like, And then he does it more appropriately to other moments. But I think his only audition was to be like, can you get your eyes and mouth and everything to be as wide, like cartoon-esque as we possibly can?
I think this happened. Did Judd Nelson refer to himself as the man? He said to somebody at some point, you can call me the man. And I was like, wait, for real? He is the white guy against a black superhero who is referring to himself as the man? This is craziness right now.
That was 1997 though, man, if you think back.
Yeah. And he was like, I'm going to put a leather jacket on that has the largest collar in humanity.
That shit, that was tight.
No, it was not.
I was feeling that.
He looked ridiculous.
Protect your neck.
I liked how he set up a champagne toast. Basically, like when they're calling the cops on Steele, he's like in a very tight circle with the other bad guys. They all have champagne, and they're like, wait, like what I thought was like, so basically, like they say, like go get that's where Steel lives. And they clink glasses, like, ha-ha, we did it. But I thought the beforehand would be so funny. It's like, guys, we're going to call the cops. Pop that, get that champagne open. Okay. Everyone pour glasses. Okay, wait. Okay,
Don't drink it.
It's ringing. Okay. They're freaking out.
Those aren't champagne glasses. We'll get them. They're called flutes.
Just use them.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, he lives in the junkyard. The most inorganic champagne toast. So dumb.
I was saying this back there. Judd gets there.
Yes.
Acting wise, like, there's a few moments where I'm like, if I could ever just do that once, I'd feel like I'm actually an actor.
If you could just be that much of a bad guy?
Yeah. No. Just like, I believed him like 3 times in Steel. Like, if you can do that in Steel, and then you get like a real movie, like, fuck.
I think that, like, there was something interesting about that, because it's like, oh, this is falling after, like, the Judd Nelson, like, fall from grace, right? Like, because he had, like, and this is like his comeback. And I feel like he was not phoning it in. Let's go.
Similarly, I had an interesting experience watching the movie, because both performers, like Annabelle Gish and Judd Nelson, like, I have such affection for, and their movies that I know them from, like Mystic Pizza and
love her in that movie.
And that performance, like, I just thought was amazing in that movie. And
I did a
such a crush.
She's amazing.
I used to work at Blockbuster Video, and there was a girl that we thought looked like Annabeth Gish, and we set up a fake DVD signing at our Blockbuster with this person who just looked like her. And we put her at a table, and we made her sign posters.
That's really cool, man.
That's really cool.
We did that at a table. Was this sanctioned by Blockbuster? What?
Was this sanctioned by Blockbuster, the corporation?
No, it was at the Syosset Blockbuster on a Sunday, and we knew the manager didn't come in, so we were like, why don't you come in and we'll just say your Annabeth
Gish. I have to say, the stories you have told about this Blockbuster and what went on there.
A lot of hijinks.
Sometimes we'd hide in the Dropbox and grab videotapes from people's hands.
That is terrifying. If that happened to me, that's so scary.
That is hilarious.
Could you imagine standing there and a hand coming through?
I got in trouble because I dressed up as, like you could dress up as any character from a movie for Halloween, and I dressed up as Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon 2, which was just a plaid shirt and jeans. My manager yelled at me. I'm like, it's on the fucking cover box, Steve. Everyone else is like Darth Vader.
It's right there in Paul's pics. Really?
We would play hard R movies during the day. That was before, like, Blockbuster mandated, like,
you guys have got to stop showing Caligula during the day. We cannot have that.
Just Predator 2.
It was. We would just play whatever we wanted until they gave us a tape that we had to play, those fuckers.
Feel the dreams.
How about when Judd Nelson is talking to, is it Shaq's brother? Who is the...
Ray J?
Little kid?
Ray J. Yeah, who's the little kid? How is he related to Shaq?
I felt he was a cousin.
I think they both called that woman grandma.
So are they brothers? That's what I was wondering.
But I guess they are.
He's too young to be his brother.
Wait, that's not a thing.
How old is...
You can't be too young.
How old is Shaq? This is when, in the movie, I was like, how old is Shaq?
25.
Because he could be like in his 20s.
Shaq
he could be
was,
in his 40s.
I thought he was in his like mid-30s.
He's 100%, 100% not in his 30s.
Really?
At this point, I don't think so.
Shaq was born in 72, so 97, he was just like, right, I mean, he was really...
25?
Oh, wow, he's young.
Yeah.
Oh, was he? I guess that seems like it could be right.
You're the worst.
I mean, this motherfucker was doing blue chips when he was like a teenager.
Yeah. He was drafted in 92.
Great year.
So this is 5 years after that.
No, I say they were cousins because their relationship didn't seem like they were brothers.
I agree, but I think they maybe were meant to be brothers.
No.
No? They're friends.
They're friends?
No, they're not friends. They share the same grandma.
They're friends?
They're friends who shared the same grandma?
Wait, wait, wait.
Who had the bigger dick?
I don't. Who knows? Girl, what do you know?
Someone's saying something. But
got
you can't
it.
Hear it.
Okay.
It's a brother.
One more quick break, everybody. Oh, man. Oh, I am so excited. Star Wars Episode 7 is here. I'm legit like a little kid right now. I remember seeing Return of the Jedi in theaters and going, they're going to make another one. And now it has like taken like 30 years to make another one. And it's called The Force Awakens. It comes out this week. It's a movie that everyone is talking about. But if you don't have tickets yet, don't worry. Use Fandango to buy your guaranteed tickets right now. What? Yeah, you can get them right now. And also make sure to play Fandango's Holiday Instant Win game too. It's really cool. Check that out. Now, let me tell you what Instant Win is, okay? Instant Win, Fandango is giving over $1 million away in cash and prizes and offers to Fandango VIPs just this month. This is huge! This is a big giveaway. This is Fandango thing. Thank you for being a member of their VIP club. Thank you for using their site. They want to give you free shit, so why not try it? All you have to do is, to get in this thing, is to check out as a Fandango VIP, right? That's all you have to do. If you're a Fandango VIP, then you can play. It's free to sign up, and you'll get extra perks like easy refunds and exchanges. But Fandango's Holiday Instant Win ends December 31st, so don't wait. You can find out all the details at Fandango.com/instantwin. Let me tell you something, people. If you're not a Fandango VIP, then you can't get with me. No, it's so great. Fandango VIP, you get to return your tickets. It's sweet. I am a big fan of Fandango. Here it is. Get your guaranteed movie tickets in advance from Fandango today for Star Wars, The Force Awakens, or any movie you want to see. And be sure to check out as a VIP to play Fandango's Holiday Instant Win. Hurry, it ends December 31st. Download that Fandango app or go online to Fandango.com. If you like movies, you want to see movies, go to Fandango. That shit works. You asked for it. We're going to give it to you. That's right. What is its mission? The BB-8 question that June asked that rocked the world is now a t-shirt, a limited edition t-shirt that you can get at howdidthisgetmade.bigcartel.com. That's right, howdidthisgetmade.bigcartel.com. You can get a tote bag, you can get a t-shirt. I hope you definitely check it out. Check it out. I think the shirt is awesome. And we're back.
By the way, it's a good chance to get into the audience now. I mean,
mix it up.
Guys, if you have questions, concerns, comments about this movie, which you already know a lot more than we do. All right, your hand is up. Come over here. We really have not even talked about Shaquille O'Neal being
talked about the movie at all. I don't.
Shaq wins.
We've barely begun. Here's what I want to know before you start, Paul. Yeah. Is that girl asleep?
She's totally asleep. She's absolutely asleep from Shaq talk.
She's really out.
The first ever asleep person.
Oh, hey, no, she did.
Hey! Hey!
Oh, no.
Hey,
you.
Blondie!
Hey, girl! Hey, you!
Where did she go before this?
Oh, no.
Where were you before
what?
This?
Oh, my God. Wakey, wakey!
What are
Why
you doing?
Are you so tired?
Hey!
So
hey, Sleepy, what's going on? Are you okay, Sleepy?
Wow.
Two nights in a row?
Two nights in a row
you've been sleeping two nights in a row?
Where did you... Where, in a row. You make fun of you last night.
Scones, biscotti.
Oh, were you laughing? You were the laughing girl at the show the other night. Why are you not laughing at this show?
She's tired.
This person, I did a show Thursday night, this person laughed so loud, here, asleep.
Yeah, it's you take it or leave it.
This is a real roller coaster you and I are on.
Oh,
okay, go back to sleep.
God.
Yeah, let her sleep.
I'm so mad we didn't all just leave her here alone.
Let me just ask you a quick question, though. What's your favorite Shaq movie?
This one.
Great.
Okay, can
and this
you,
one
just
is called...
a quick follow-up yeah. question. What's this one called?
Steal.
Steal, she got
okay,
it.
Good, good. You can
go back to sleep. Welcome, welcome.
Were you dreaming at all? Did you dream?
Really
you
out.
Couldn't have been that deep. Was there anything happening?
Why you did you wake me
by
up?
By the way, everyone was trying to wake you up. The audience is staring at you for a solid 30 seconds. Your friend over here was pinching your leg. Everyone was pinching. And what you did was you got more comfortable.
Yeah.
You went more to sleep.
And the thing is, tens of thousands of people are listening to this on their iPhones. They're all wondering, what the fuck is this girl doing? She paid for tickets to go to a show I would love to go to, and she falls asleep and is angry that they woke her up.
And it's not even a long episode at this point.
You've only been here 40 minutes.
But okay. So, what's your question?
For someone, welcome, you are awake. Your name, I don't even know what would your tagline for this movie would be? Like, the tagline was like, ooh, man, machine, hero. What would you say this movie would be?
This one's out to Jason Manzoukas. This is a love story between a man and his firearms.
Okay, fair ooh, enough.
I like that.
Thank
I
you,
like
I
that.
Like it.
All right, now your question.
Did you guys catch that one line that the uncle made, which was it's a substitute for like, oh my word, you know? He says, well, dip me in poop or something like that.
Yeah, he's yeah. like, dip me in shit and roll me in breadcrumbs.
It wasn't
sounded like grandma's cooking.
Yeah.
thoughts.
Wow, that is, I'm gonna give you a gift for that. You get a gift.
Shit and roll me in breadcrumbs.
Ow!
From our good friends at Mezco Toys. You sound like a real fan of Green Lantern and Sinestro. Yeah, dip me in shit and roll me in, was it cornflakes? No, it was
breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbs. Was it shit or did he say?
It was shit. Yeah, he said shit.
Oh my God.
Why?
That was like a, for sure, like round table punch up where someone's like, yo, I got it. And the whole room was like, he's so good. How does he do this?
Well, that's the authentic street talk that they went and studied
yeah,
down
dude, totally.
In.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, they're saying this all the time. Dip me in shit and roll me in breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
All the kids.
Breadcrumbs.
I'm surprised it wasn't in Boys in the Hood. Your name, your tagline for the movie and your question.
My name is Maya. My tagline is not that man of steel.
Sorry.
I like that.
I was wondering if we could discuss the fact that the inspirational song for Annabeth Gish is telling her to stand up.
It's what?
The end of the movie when Annabeth Gish's robot wheelchair makes her stand like a normal a person with legs. It's the song kicks in as stand up. That is true. You get a book. You get The Great Showdowns, The Revenge, a great, cool book that I actually wrote the intro to. So there you go. Enjoy it. It's a weird message because I was feeling throughout the entire movie that she was going to regain the power of her legs. Did you guys feel that too?
I was glad she didn't.
Yeah, I thought that was...
I wasn't...
Wow. Wow. No, I'm with June. She should be punished.
Yeah. No, I was glad that that wasn't the story
yeah.
because that's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that I loved what they when her wheelchair became a weapon.
Yes. Oh, she lit it up.
I loved that as well.
By the way,
and she shot Shaq. Shaq's like, yo, like control your shit.
Yeah. And I loved that she had a bumper sticker on her wheelchair, which was I break for animals.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I almost loved the ending when it was just that it was lifting her up to, although I guess the lift is strange in a way because it's not that it's lifting her to standing because where would she go from there?
She could just stand at eye level, like, which is another insult.
It would be strange.
Hey, do you want to just feel like you have the power of your legs? That's terrible.
It would be strange if people in wheelchairs, I guess,
Don't do this to them. It's perfectly fine if they're vertical.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're like, no, if you can't use your legs, you better be fucking sitting down.
You should be dangled in the air and driven around like that.
It's fine to me.
My issue is, my issue is if she could get to that position and then be wheeled around like Hannibal Lecter, I'm into it. Because then it's like, well, then she can move. But if the only movement is that she can stand and then not move, that seems real short-sighted.
Like, well, what I love about it is...
I'm like this, and then like, I'll meet up with you guys later. No,
I also think it's got center of gravity problems.
Well, her front is roped in.
She would be much easier, like, tipped over. If she's going to be, like, in battle with him or something, I think you lower to the ground is better.
This is where the Segway comes from. The Segway was invented from a wheelchair that went vertical.
Dean Kamen.
Now we're all riding on them.
Dean Kamen.
By the way... I did think this weird. So Judd Nelson is a weapons developer.
The man.
He captures Annabeth Gish, and she has a wheelchair that looks like a fucking weapon, and he does nothing to dismantle that.
Nope.
At all. The thing has fucking lasers down. Like, when you go like, you know what?
Well, that's what was great about it, because he thought she was just a disabled person.
Ooh. Wow,
he said crippled.
He said crippled. Okay, guy.
Is it weird?
Guy in the crowd who's so excited to shout out crippled.
Can we call her a cripple threat? Is that not a thing?
All right, sir. Your name, your tagline for the film, and your question.
My name is Jason.
Yeah! Here we go now.
Drop the hammer. I love it.
And question is, since Steel's origins are tied with Superman's fight with Doomsday, we know Doomsday is in the new Batman Superman movie. Do you think we're going to see John Henry Irons
as played by Shaq?
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
That would be amazing. If Shaq,
you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. The way this thing is shaping up, come on, everybody.
Who would you want to see, legitimately do that role?
Oh, do that role? Oh, no, I'm more saying, I feel like these DC movies seem so off the rails, they might as well put Shaq in it
who would be like, all right, okay.
Who do I think could now be cast as Steel?
And you'd be like, yes.
Nobody. Terry Crews.
I
like Terry Crews' Steel.
Cruise control.
I'll take that.
By the way, we have not even talked about the scene.
But by the way, if it was in the real DC thing, it would probably be the dude from the deodorant commercial. That would be
Isaiah Mustafa?
Yeah. Like they'd be like, that's who they are.
They're both. Terry Crews, they're both in him now.
I know, now they're both in him.
They could just get both of them then. Fuck it.
We have not talked about the scene, one of the first scenes in the junkyard where she's introduced to her new home, and she falls out of the wheelchair, and Steel and his uncle stand about 15 feet away from her and watch her writhe on the ground for a long time,
and they're proud of it, like,
and
they're
she's
like
crying,
and the uncle goes to help her and Steel's like no, because she has to do it on her own.
Absolutely.
And she triumphs and she's happy.
Like, who's the first person she calls after rapping that day to be like, today I fucking killed it?
Is she calling her mom or agent? Great.
Like, I'm glad I did this. I really got there today. Almost like Judd, but...
I also thought, too, they're in a junkyard and they're creating very high-tech weaponry, but there's no cover. There's no outdoor cover. It's like, if it rained, everything would be fine.
Right.
Literally, she's like on a soldering table in the outdoors.
He's like smelting his mask in an outdoor like kiln.
It's just the same piece of steel the whole time, right?
Yes.
They're like, one. And then later he's still doing this piece of steel.
Can I say this? Can steel, like, are lasers not able to penetrate steel? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, first of all, to answer that question, we have to go to the larger question, which is this. There's a gun in the movie that when shot at a train car, flips the train car over. Mere seconds later, the same gun is shot at Shaq in the back, and he's just a little stunned.
How about this? Shaq stands in front of the bad guys at one point, and they are like, and he's like, ha, ha, ha. And they all start shooting at him. And he is just like this. He's like, almost like dusting off his nails, like, no big deal, because I got my steel suit on. There is conservatively 20% of his body that is not covered with steel.
The majority of his face.
Yeah, namely his face.
His neck, his hands, his general groin area. Like anywhere there's like the things the plates have to meet, there's just empty, there's a void.
And by the way, let's just talk about the detective work of the police department there. We can't find a stuntman for Shaq. So if you say there's a 7 foot tall African-American man running around in a suit of steel, I think we could be like, yeah, I think I know who that guy is. I think I saw him around town recently. The guy who just came back to town and shot free throws? Yeah. That's him. We got a positive ID. We don't have to follow him to the junkyard.
He lives at the junkyard.
Sir, your name, your tagline, and I hope you came here to see the right movie. Here we go.
My name is Tom. My tagline is the Iron Man. No, wait. The Iron Giant. No, fuck, steel.
All right, great. What's your question?
My question is about Annabeth Gish in this movie. Is it possible that the entire movie we're seeing is solely Shaq's fever dream of what
Jacob's
really
Ladder?
Yeah. What if...
I'm not going to lie. Are we going to go to Jacob's Ladder here? Because...
No, not Jacob's Ladder. Rashomon.
Oh.
Annabeth Gish
was injured by this guy's weapon. He kidnaps her out of her rehab facility where she desperately needed to be, was held against her will at a junkyard and forced to make weapons for him. And by the way, the only weapons she made for him were an earpiece that she could hear him and he could hear her, and a camera that was...
And one magnet. This is the shit we need right here.
But for herself, she built a Gatling laser on a rocket chair. I think this was an escape attempt.
So you think Steel is the villain?
So you're describing a Room scenario, the Brie Larson movie Room, not the Tommy Wiseau version of the Room, of about a woman held captive and Richard Roundtree's her son. That's a great way of looking at this movie. You get a book. Wow. What do you guys think? Could that have been the plot?
For sure, 100%.
All right, who has a good question? Another good question. The music. What, you have a question about the music? All right, what's your question about the music?
Hey there, I'm Andrew. My tagline is, at least I'm a better actor than Kobe.
Tight.
Wow. Don't shit on Kobe. I'm in a brand new movie with Kobe Bryant. It's called Daddy's Home. Don't worry about it.
Ow! Ow!
First time he's ever agreed to be on film, guy. First time. And got injured in the game. Rough.
Did he really?
He did, literally. The first time he ever agreed to be on a film set was in Daddy's Home. We were in there, we shot it that day, and he injured himself that day. And he has really been in a downward spiral since that day. Yeah, it's been a real bummer.
Oh my God.
And he was a great actor.
So I wanted to ask, what did you guys think about the original score for the film, or what was your favorite musical moment?
Remember any score?
I don't remember any music.
Are you holding back information that we should know?
There are some pretty cheesy chase music I remember when Shaq's lumbering around.
Oh yeah, like jumping over the fence, and then when he gets to the top of the building, or when he jumped the building, and then like there's a ledge this like 3 feet off the ground, and then he just goes like, and he like saddles it and like rolls over it. And you're like, oh yeah, this dude's 350 pounds.
He shoots his grappling hook up into the side of a building, It does not land on the roof. Which means he gets like it motorizes, lifts him up to about 7 feet below the roof, where at which point he was just, I assume, stuck.
No, I want to see him like do like some Batman kind of move where he's just like hanging there like inconspicuously. They don't see me. Yeah, they do. You're at 400 pounds, but man.
There was a lot of like trimming that could have been done during like chasing to make him look more.
It felt like
more...
all real time. I was like, oh yeah. God, this is going on.
It's the first time it's ever been done. It's going to be cool. They're going to love it.
Yes, you have a notepad, so I go to you. Your name, your tagline, your question.
All right, my name is Rachel. My tagline is, fuck.
All right, that's good. I'll take it.
That's fucking tight.
Fuck. Steal.
Okay.
Fuck. Fuck. Ha ha ha. Okay, your question.
Yeah, okay. So, something that was really perplexing to me was that when the couple gets robbed at... the couple that's coming from like the opera.
Yes. By the way, for you at home, there is an inside joke going on that you'll never be a part of, which only means you should come out to LA and see a live show.
Oh, so mad.
Yes. I know you're the couple that describes him and the police report.
Okay. So when they're coming, they're leaving the opera, they're walking.
Someone's awake.
The loud laugh is
so,
back.
They're trying to report the crime because they were mugged by a guy with...
By John Hawks!
John Hawks. Killing it.
By Saul Starr!
Jason's really killing me over here. But they say they called 911 and that it went to a recording.
Well, yeah, it was 97.
That's when 911 was still half recording, half live.
There is a commentary in the movie, though, on government services and the VA hospital being horrible. And
They mentioned the NSA.
Thanks, Rachel.
Yeah. Well, Shaquille also is like, Shaquille gets really mad at his commander. He's like, hey, look, there's weapons there. He's like, I don't know about that. He's like, there is weapons. Like, Shaquille on payphone screaming at people is my favorite. She's where?
Oh, and then he rips the payphone out and the dude right there is like, and he fucking kills it. You know he auditioned for the black dude with the wide eyes role, didn't get it, but they're like, no, you were good. We're going to work you in.
We're going to make you the homeless man with the wide eyes. Oh, man. All right, yes, sir, your question, your name, your tagline, and your question.
Eric, tagline, I don't know. If you liked Thor's hammer, I don't know.
Yep.
No, I like it.
I'm seeing it.
So glossing over the gangster kid wearing a fishnet shirt and also the world's worst police lineup of like 1 7-foot-6 guy and then 5 5-foot guys. Do you guys have a problem with when Judd Nelson, that's his name, right?
Yep.
When he is trying to like sell to like the weird Nazi guys and the one Asian woman and like all those bad guys, talking about how good his weapons are, and he shoots his partner who doesn't die, and then later shoots another kid in front of the Hummer who also doesn't die, and then says, "But my weapons are great, and you're gonna keep coming back and paying me." Like, why?
They don't seem to be
He's
working.
Showing off bad weaponry. Yeah, it's a really good point.
They needed to charge more. Because that was his big get-rich-quick scheme was, I'm going to lease you these weapons.
Sure.
Because Judd Nelson's whole theory about selling weapons to terrorists is like selling them a timeshare.
And he's like, yeah, they need to be recharged every now and then,
and
too.
That's why you'll bring them back to me. Because I have a proprietary charger. What we're dealing with now is cell phones.
Yeah. Smart. By the way, the CGI was legit. Can we just say that? When the thing blasted, I was like, "Man, look real."
I feel like that was I feel like they actually used practical effects here. It's like the very J.J. Abrams approach to action scenes.
Look good, sir.
Ray J.J. Abrams nailed it.
Ray J.J.
Sir, your name, your tag on your question. Here we go.
My name's Chris. I guess tagline would be Hammer Time.
Nice.
I think you said that.
That's like italicized.
Did anybody else catch the fact that at the end of the movie, Ray J said he wanted to be famous and make a tape?
Really?
He said, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to make a tape.
No.
That's wow. Amazing.
Dude, so he did have the dick.
I love that.
By the way, you got a book
no.
for that.
Oh, wow.
Holy cow.
That's awesome. By the way, without that tape, like, all of our worlds would be different.
Yeah.
I'm
Can
not even
imagine?
Fucking kidding.
True.
Without that tape, like...
Yeah.
There's no Kardashians.
There's no Kardashians.
Who are we,
there's
who
no,
are we watching?
Like, yeah.
Who are we keeping up with?
Who are the, like... Exactly.
Well, obviously we had an opinion about this movie, but now it is time for second opinions. Last time we did a live show, we said to you guys, if you have a song that you would like to sing, we will give you... And I know there's someone here with a guitar, so this person is going to sing...
I already have reservations.
100%. This is an unvetted... you brought a guitar. Where are you? Where is the person? All right, get that guitar open. Get it open. Get it open here. You're not coming on stage. Okay, get it open. No pick. All right, here we go.
What? So what?
Make
no strap,
mistake.
No pick.
This movie blows. And now we have reached the best part of the show. Paul Scheer and the gang, they had their say. But there are some people out there that feel a different way. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. 5-star reviews pulled from Amazon. We'll try to figure out what is going on. Yeah.
I loved it. Everything about that paid off. Wonderful
well
job.
Done.
Amazing
well done.
Job. I mean, I'm going to give you
that
a
takes
poster.
Guts. That I'm takes guts to come out there.
You killed it.
And do what he did.
A lot of pressure. You killed it all. There you go. Enjoy that. Have
He's
that.
He's putting himself on the line.
He did it. Thank you so
He's
much.
He's not just sitting out there passively sleeping away the show.
He laid it out on the line. He fucking performed.
He made himself vulnerable to you guys.
No pick.
No pick.
I don't know if you guys caught that.
No pick. Couldn't
now
tell.
Now I get it.
As was said in that song title, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. Okay, not many here. Not many second opinions for Steel, but there are a few good ones. This one is from MP22. I mean, Harry Potter had 78 sequels. Steel couldn't get one? What the hell? 5 stars. This one from Thomas J. Handsome. Funny movie. Watch it with your youngest grandson. 5 stars. So,
what?
So specific.
That's
what if your
alarming.
Youngest grandson is like 42?
Okay, you four, you can't watch it. You and me, we're going to watch a movie.
I hate that. I hate it.
This one, I don't know whether or not this dream has come true. You'll see why. By Kenneth Rogers, written in December 16th, 2012, right about now. Been waiting forever for this movie to come out. This movie is what made me want to become a movie director. 5-star reviews.
Did he?
Sure.
Well, we have to figure it out. Guys, do some research on Kenneth Rogers. I don't know.
Oh, shit, it's Kenny Rogers.
What?
Oh, my God.
He did
Gambler?
Roasted. Six pack? All right, what comes to the part of the show? Would you recommend this movie? Would you recommend our audience to seek out Steel?
No.
June.
I mean, no. No.
Jason.
I gotta say no. You know, if you want a little bit of it, watch 20 minutes of it. You'll get the gist of it. I do want
to
say, there is one thing I wanted to bring up that we didn't get to.
Sure.
Which was one of my absolute favorite lines in the movie, spoken by Judd Nelson, who's doing terrific work in the film. And he says, eat the hot dog.
Eat the hot dog.
Don't be one. Yeah. Eat the hot dog. Don't be one.
By the way, I just pulled up a still, which is amazing, because the man is eating a hot dog, a turkey dog, without the bun.
No, it's a pork hot dog, which is revealed at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
He thinks it's a turkey dog, and then at the end, Judd Nelson, before he shoots him, and he's like, hey, and guess what? It was a pork hot dog.
Blows his mind.
That guy also wearing an eye patch.
Wait, that guy also went to law school with Barack Obama, I believe.
What?
Right? Really?
Right? Am I crazy? Right? Yeah, he writes like books about like being strong black men and shit.
That guy?
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Right?
Wait, who knows about it out there?
Front row!
Hill Harper.
What do you know? What do you know?
She knows everything.
Come close to the microphone. That's the way it works.
It's Hill Harper. He does write books. He did go to school.
What are the books
Barack
about?
Obama, about young black men.
Thank you.
Yeah.
About young black men and their interaction with a man.
I gotta say, I believe it from her.
I don't believe it from you.
Less from you, dudes. Less from you.
You can't trust me.
By the way, we never talked about the sexy construction workers that worked in the steel mill.
Yes. Oh my God.
Girls in like no clothes where there's molten steel.
By the way, he was working with real steel, I imagine, at that moment. And I was like, that was probably a pretty cool day for him.
In the movie, he doesn't work with real steel. He doesn't go back there to make his suit.
I know. Yeah, that happens in the junkyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So,
The Nazis. I liked the Nazis.
The Nazis, who I thought looked a little bit like firemen. They were just black shirts and red suspenders. They were pretty amazing. These are, I mean, again, you can't see it because it's a podcast.
The grenade scene was hilarious to me because they're trapped where there's, and a grenade comes in, right?
Yeah.
And they pick it up, and it's the moment where Shaq has to make the free throw. And he, all the movie has been missing throwing something in a garbage can, blah, 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 blah. And there's a little hole that he can throw the grenade through. Okay, he does. All that happens now is the grenade is on the other side of a very flimsy wall.
Yeah.
And blows up.
A fence, like just a...
All he's done is create shrapnel coming at him.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, he would have had a better time just like keeping it in the same room and like rolling it like 5 feet
A gentle
feet
roll?
Away. Yes.
Or sitting on it. He's made of steel.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just sat on it like a
fucking
egg.
That
could have
been a funny like set piece where he's like, stand back, and he sits on it. Sounds like a fart. The kids laugh.
That would have been hilarious.
That was silent.
You guys know what
that was silent, but not deadly. Killer line.
It writes itself.
Killer line. The movie.
We
all
gotta write steel too.
Quincy Jones, producer of this movie, call us. All right. So now we're into our plugs. Would you like to plug anything?
Workaholics is coming back in January.
January, what day? What day?
Nice. You
know? What day? Super good question. Get online, find out.
All right, good.
I don't know.
It's a little bit of research for everybody in the audience there.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like, you know.
June, you have anything?
Grace and Frankie still on Netflix, which you can stream. The first season, the second season's coming out sometime soon.
Jason?
I have a small part on the television show Transparent, which I will plug because the show is fantastic. That's about it.
I'll also remind everybody to buy your What Is Its Mission t-shirts at howdidthisgetmade.bigcartel.com. You can get a tote bag, you can get a t-shirt. Finally, wear a shirt around that BB-8 asks the question that no one's asking, what is its mission? I'm in the upcoming film Daddy's Home for just a brief moment, but we'd love you to go see it because let's just take the steam out of Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
Let's open up on the same day. Let's just stick it to, you know, maybe come in first place for that weekend.
Very likely to happen.
Yeah.
Very likely.
It would be Daddy's Home. Sisters, Star Wars, shockingly at number 3, Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Then Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation.
Kind of made it back after the DVD kind of got people interested in going back to see it in the theater.
I will say, everybody go see Creed.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
That movie was fantastic.
Well, I loved it. I thought it was really great. And you know what? Let's just end the episode with the way that they end the movie, with our stand-up song with Shaq and Annabelle Gish. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. We will see you next time. Big thanks to all of our amazing people who help us out with the show. Avril Halley. Oh, yeah, here is the wheelchair. The wheelchair is playing behind me. Give it up for Avril Halley, Nate Kiley, Marissa Zeitz, and everybody here at Earwolf, everybody here at Largo, helping us out all the time. We thank you, and take a listen to this. Here we go. Stand up, stand up. Back in January. I think those shows are already sold out, though. Thank you guys so much. Good night. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another live episode of How Did This Get Made? I want to give a special shout out and thank you to Avril Halley, who just kills it on the video clips. You can check out her website, Movie Bitches, on YouTube. She makes amazing stuff. You got to definitely check it out. Nate Kiley, who pulls all the research. This guy kills it every single week. Marissa Zeitz, she is just killing it too. Leanna Waldron, also making it on the graphic front. We have July Diaz in the booth recording his heart out. Everybody at Earwolf, everyone at Largo, when you're in LA, go check out Largo. They got great shows over there. And if we missed anything in this episode, you want to comment, you want to leave anything, well, guess what? You can. You go to earwolf.com. We'll read it on our mini episodes in the corrections and omissions section. Visit us on Facebook. Visit us on Twitter at HDTGM. We announce cool stuff there always. And remember to head on over to howdidthisgetmade.bigcartel.com to get the How Did This Get Made What's Its Mission BB-8 shirt. It's available now for a limited time and tote bag. Get them. Tell your friends. It's a great Christmas gift. I love you all. I will see you next week. Bye-bye for now.
This has been an Earwolf production. Executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.